Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Danny Noakes, Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline, Chris Barnhart here with you. Rolling along, talking a little ACC tournament action here. Going to get right into it. We have a question coming in from C, who's listening in Radford, and he wants to ask Chris if he foresees anybody leaving the Virginia Tech basketball team this offseason.
Yeah, I do. You see attrition in every single program in every offseason, whether it's guys unhappy about playing time or they're homesick or what have you.
Right.
So, yes, I do expect attrition. I don't think it's going to be anybody we've mentioned in this show so far. I don't think it's going to be one of our key cogs. I think anybody who leaves will be very replaceable,
right,
in my opinion. I think there's a few possibilities, but I don't out of respect for them, I don't want to offer up any names and just start speculating
Going
to leave, that guy's going to leave. But yeah, I do think we'll see some attrition. I expect Virginia Tech to sign at least one more player in this class.
Right.
If Ty Outlaw doesn't get cleared, then that would open up a spot. He could just take a medical hardship waiver. So we could technically take another spot, take another player, even without attrition, per se. But I do think we'll have some attrition. That's just the nature of the beast these days in college athletics.
It just happens every offseason, like you said. Quickly moving on here, another tweet that just scrolled across both of our timelines here, Chris. Year two of the rebuild. Compare Buzz to Tony Bennett at Virginia. Thanks to OxVT here.
Yeah.
Buzz was 19-14, 10-8 in the ACC, NIT bid pending. Tony was 16-15 and 7-9 in the ACC, and no postseason bid at all. I mean, it's obviously two very different situations here, but I think it's pretty easy to say that Buzz took over a program that was in a far worse shape than Tony Bennett did.
Right, yeah, because Tony Bennett actually won 15 or 16 games in his first year
also,
and followed that up with pretty much an identical season. They won a couple more games in the ACC in his second year, but for the most part, they were kind of the same. And then they made the NCAA tournament in his third year, then the NIT in their fourth year, and then things really started taking off in year five for him.
Right.
Buzz had nothing to work with in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Was a train wreck of a program when he got here. But the job he did constructing a roster that fits his style of play in such a short amount of time has been pretty phenomenal.
Yes.
I think it's been outstanding. I think Tony Bennett's a Hall of Fame coach. I think he's going to be one of those guys who is in the Hall of Fame before he retires.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's top-notch. He's as good as it gets. I think if Buzz coaches long enough, he has the basketball acumen to be that type of guy as well. But he said he's not going to coach that long.
He's going to get into broadcasting is what he's going to do. Watch. I mean,
he's entertaining.
Did you see the halftime interview last night with I can't remember who did it. It was pretty funny though.
He'd be very good in that role, and he can obviously break down basketball and everything like that. So if that's something he wants to pursue, then he's very well qualified for it.
You mentioned Tony Bennett possibly being a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done for him. Do you think he does that at UVA?
It wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Yeah,
I think he's a good fit there. I don't think he's going to Wisconsin, or whatever.
Right.
I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he's a good fit at UVA.
Now we'll transition here and go to the game last night. The final score 88-82. Number 11 Miami victorious over Virginia Tech. They jumped out to a 10-5 lead, and it looked good at first. They were knocking down a bunch of shots, but then Miami just kind of woke up.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pretty obviously the bigger team, I guess. But I don't think you could, like you said, I don't think Virginia Tech is getting enough credit for its talent level right now. And I would be one of the culprits. I've said that they pale in comparison, in terms of talent to some of the teams they've been playing. But I mean, they climbed back into that game last night so many different times.
Sometimes it's difficult to evaluate talent because of the experience level. I mean, Sheldon McClellan and Angel Rodriguez were like top 50 recruits coming out of high school who signed with other teams and then eventually transferred to Miami. But they're fifth-year seniors, so it's easy to call them talented players, right? Justin Robinson looks like a very talented player now. Now that he knows how to play basketball. He didn't necessarily look like a talented player in November because he just wasn't sure of himself yet. So it can be hard to evaluate talent. I think when you consider Tech's experience level, does experience count as talent? I don't know. Does it?
Right. I don't. I don't. I don't think so, but I don't know. But it gives them it does give you an advantage.
Right. It certainly gives you an advantage. And next year, Virginia Tech is going to be the team with 2 5th-year seniors. Mm-hmm. An experienced core of sophomores and juniors surrounding them. I would like to add another big man,
yeah,
if possible. I've heard Hadeem C is really playing well over the second half of Oak Hill's season. So if he can come in there and steal minutes at the 5 spot, that'd be great. But I would like to add some more height, whether it's a graduate transfer.
Right.
If Virginia Tech can find the best graduate transfer big man who's then an ideal fit for Buzz's culture and system, mm-hmm, then I would take him this year, because I think that if there's any questions at all about Virginia Tech going to the tournament next year, that would be it, and I think that would definitely push them over the top, and might make them a really, really good basketball team next year. I mean, really good basketball
team. Right. You set yourself up in terms of matchups. You're able to, you know, match up with some of these teams a little better because Virginia Tech is a little bit undersized, but they, you know, even, I mean, Bojanowski got abused on 2 nights ago.
And that was a big difference between Wednesday night's game and Thursday night games is Jaquiri did a much better job on ball screens than Boris did. You know, Boris is just slow.
And Jaquiri's good.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But
he's another senior.
Right.
He's another senior.
Billis said something yesterday, and it's so simple, but it resonated with me so much. And when you look out on the court, Miami has a bunch of men out there. They look like they're big, they're athletic, they look like men. And Virginia Tech just doesn't look the same. Doesn't mean they're not as talented, but having, you know, that those big bodies out there, those big athletes.
They don't look as good getting off the bus as Miami.
Right.
But you know, does UVA?
No. Not, no. But no. who would you consider the better team? Probably UVA.
Yeah.
You make a good point.
Yeah.
The other thing, and we talked about this a little bit off the air, that hurt Virginia Tech enormously last night was the turnovers. 14 turnovers isn't a huge number, but it was the unforced turnovers.
I think so, too. I know they traveled 3 times in the first half, mm-hmm, and maybe another time or two in the second half, and then they just dribble the ball off their feet at least on 3 occasions. So when you're playing a team like Miami, you can't give them free points, and Virginia Tech gave them a lot of free points, mm-hmm, last night because some of them were unforced turnovers. I think turnovers is one of the keys to Virginia Tech being successful this year. I think in the ACC games they've won, they've committed 10 or fewer turnovers. I think in every single one of those games,
right,
probably. But when they start getting up in double digits turnovers, then the chances are they're probably going to lose. And that makes sense. And I think that's the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think in games that are going to go down to 2-3 possessions, something like that, those extra possessions that you can gain through turnovers or lose through turnovers, they're absolutely critical.
Right. I couldn't believe that Virginia, with 13 seconds to go, Devin Wilson knocks the ball out of some Miami player's hands. And they're down by 6, and it's not over.
Yeah.
You can't count them out.
Right.
Everyone thought that game was over, but they're, you know, Virginia, all of a sudden, it's a 2-possession game with 13 seconds. You get a steal, a quick 3. It's a 1-possession game.
Yeah, you know, and crazy things have happened in this ACC tournament. So I did not stop watching the game.
Neither did I.
I just said, okay, I've seen a lot of crazy things happen this week. This is March Madness. I think we're probably due for some good luck in March Madness. So I'm not going to turn this game off right now. Not at all. Didn't work out that way, but Tech kept fighting, and I thought Buzz coached well down the stretch. It's not easy to necessarily keep yourself in a game like that and manage the clock and manage your substitutions and things like that, but he did it, and he was able to cut into that Miami lead as a result.
Now, Seth Allen was spectacular again last night, 7 of 14 from the field, 17 of 18 from the free throw line, and that 17 made free throws tied an ACC tournament game record. Just his ability to slash through the lane, and then he throws his body around so much, and he is an effective scorer. He's come into his own because he looked a little bit out of control at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, like I said, when everybody else stepped up around him, I think it's made him a better player. It's made him a more efficient player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to carry the load himself. He feels he can be more of a free spirit out there, so to speak, and I think that fits him very well. He's going to be an all-ACC tournament team. He should be. He's averaging 25.5 a game.
Yep.
And I think, what has he made? I think he made 10 free throws in the first game. He was 10 of 12 in the first game and then 17 out of 18.
Yeah, so 27 of 30.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's 90%, correct?
Yeah, I think so. So he's playing the best basketball of his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't wait to see redshirt senior Seth Allen next season.
He's going to play a viable role. I mean, but just even with Seth Allen and Justin Robinson, I mean, Justin Robinson plays so far beyond his age. He's very efficient in running Buzz's offense, but he's not afraid of anything. Yeah. Just like we heard Richie talk about it. I mean, when Miami played Tech and Castle this season, there was a point where Angel Rodriguez was right in Robinson's grill, and he did not shy away at all. Yeah. He was not afraid.
Oh, he was not afraid. You know, Rodriguez probably got the better of him last night, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Rodriguez gets the better of most people he plays against. But Robinson really got the better of him in Castle Coliseum.
Yeah, he did.
And that gives you hope. And you're talking about a true freshman versus a fifth-year senior here. And I think Robinson, on the whole, has done a very good job against these older point guards that he's faced this year. And by the time his career is over, he's going to be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of those guys where people are saying, oh, he's one of the best point guards in this league.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be an all-ACC player before it's all said and done.
So at this point, we don't know for sure, but there's very likely no NCAA tournament, but the NIT field is going to be announced at 8:30 on Sunday night on ESPNU. Tech, you mentioned Tech has submitted a bid to host a first-round game via Whit Babcock, but they haven't received one since 2011.
Yeah, I didn't even know you had to bid for the NIT.
I didn't even.
Now that the NCAA took it over and they actually assigned seedings
and
things like that, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, how much money does the NCAA need?
Right.
Really.
Right.
But I think feel good about Virginia Tech getting a bid to the NIT. In fact, I think it's this is Virginia Tech in the March we're talking about, so I'm not going to say 100%.
Right.
But it's between 95 and 99% certain that Virginia Tech's going to go to the NIT.
How can you leave them out?
With 19 wins. 19 wins was the clincher. 19 wins seemed to be the breaking point last year for the at-large teams. So I think they're in. The only question is seeding, and I think they'll be anywhere between a 3 and a 5 at this point. I'm hoping for a 3 or a 4 so we can get a home game.
Well, there's two things I'm hoping for here. One, that I hope we get to watch this team again in Castle Coliseum, and then maybe we get to go to Madison Square Garden.
That'd be a nice trip.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun to go to the most famous arena in America. But you got to – just going back to that Miami game last night, you do have to give a lot of credit to Jim Larrañaga and the job that he's done. He did get the Coach of the Year award over Buzz, whether you agree if it was a snub or not, which I think we – you know, I'll generally agree that it was, that Buzz should have been the ACC Coach of the Year. But, I mean, Larrañaga he's got a great team. They got a great shot to beat UVA tonight.
He's a fantastic coach. His team's really talented and well-coached. I enjoy watching him play. Don't really like him all that much. But you got to give him credit. They played really well last night.
I might be a little biased. I grew up in Northern Virginia. I was 15 minutes from George Mason where I watched him take his team to the Final Four. A lot of my friends went to his basketball camp, actually. But, man, we're out of time. Time flies.
Yep. See you
next
week.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
That's Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline joining us here for all of hour number one, helping us break down the ACC tournament. We got one more segment here in hour number one, and just one segment before we're off the air at 5:15 in hour number two. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.